Call the legends now. 0151 4720 967. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City Sport.
It's Monday evening. Good evening. I'm Steve Hover, Source 630. The Legends, Monday and Friday, we're always here, except if you're John Aldridge. But never mind, we've got a more than suitable replacement in the studio for him. And Mark Wrighty returns today. Evening to you, Wrighty.
Evening.
And Sharpie, as always. We're doing out without the ref tonight.
I thought it was very good.
I thought Mark Horsley was excellent.
I thought it was very good.
I was a bit uneasy with him being here. Got to say.
You've just got a thing with referees.
Really, didn't make you feel at home. We've got plenty to discuss. Massive games coming, of course, on the horizon next weekend. Everton with that game against Chelsea. Liverpool playing Manchester United. We'll touch on that. We've got a former legend co-worker of Sharpie's coming up in the second part of the show, which will be an interesting chat because he's always pretty interesting. And of course, we're going to touch on the international scene. Just before we get there, I thought it was dead interesting that, Wrighty, tell us all what you've been up to today. Where you been?
Where have I been? To that enthralling place. I've been to the SoccerX over in Manchester, which, to be fair, is a massive event. And if anything to do with football, whether it's for events for the football clubs, marketing, PR, everything is there for people to see. And it was it opened my eyes how intricate and how we're talking about clubs from all over the world coming to it. And people coming from all over the world to speak. So it was very, very interesting. And I'm going back tomorrow because obviously that helps our company, Premier Legends, is in the market to do them sort of things.
Of course, you're involved in the fostering as well. And tomorrow you get some of that message. Have you been to SoccerX, Sharpie?
I haven't.
It just looks fascinating, doesn't it? It creates some headlines as well every year.
Yeah, it does. And some fantastic guests there as well. So it's very, very interesting. I spoke to Peter Reid this afternoon. He was there. But right, you left him. I think he was just going on the wing.
I left him, as he just said, just the one. Yeah. I've heard that before with a reading.
Yeah. Does that not exist?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
Go on, just give us a rundown of names you bumped into today.
Bobby Charlton was a big name. Dennis Law was there, Mike Summerby, Ozzy Ardiles to win the cup for Tottenham. He was there. He's speaking tomorrow on the World Cup events. Obviously Barnsley was there. He's a legend. He was walking around with Reedy, so that was a formidable two, them two together, like I said. And really, just as I was leaving, the whole group, and I felt a little bit jealous because they all had a glass of wine in their hand, so it was just about to start, I think. So the evening's going to be a long evening from all.
Reedy was still looking for Maradona. Still chasing after him.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
You said Barnes and Reedy. Were they sort of best buds, Barnes and Reedy? I know you're close to them. There's a Liverpool and Everton connection.
No, I just think they know each other and they just teamed up to walk around there today. They were, I think they're ambassadors for it. I know Barnes is. I'm sure Reedy is as well. So they were just walking around, talking to people, PRing, just showing their face.
It's excellent stuff. Right, if you want to get involved in the show, you can do it. It's 0151 4720. 967 0151 4720 967. Graham Sharp and Mark Wrighty in the studio. We've got plenty to review. We're just going to touch first of all on the international scene. We were kicking off, all of us, weren't we, out in the office saying, Where's the heroes, the stars of the Monday international world?
I was coming in the car this evening and I was thinking to myself, to me, it's boring. International football is boring. I watched the England game and okay, whatever, I'm not just saying England. Scotland as well, Wales, they're never so well over in Cyprus, but there was no action, there was no, not like we used to play in like passion and commitment. I know the game's changed and I'm not going back to all our yesterday's kind of thing, but I just think it's fallen flat. I just don't know whether it's because people are all set into this mindset of we've got to play possession football, keep it all the time like Barcelona, but somebody said to me recently, not everybody's got players at Barcelona. Not everybody's got a Xavi and an Iniesta who can make things tick. But everybody wants to play that way. And I just think
and you
it's
can't.
Boring.
No, it's boring. No, there's no. I always find when I'm the same as Sharpie, I don't think there's any intensity to it. And I was going to say commitment, but there is commitment because they're all fit and they have a go. But there's like, and the word is what Sharpie just used there. It's the passion, how they go about it, how they force and impose themselves on the game, which we all as supporters now and people who've played and looking on at it, and you think you just want that little bit more, well, a lot more to make it a real game, to go after people and pen them in and and show that they really, really do want to win this game by a lot of goals, or at least make us all feel like it, that's a proper game, and we're all excited by it. And I'm not getting the same feeling as years gone by. And I hate to keep saying that because they always say, "Oh, you live in the past," I always say it's that intensity isn't there, and it's like Sharp was saying, why pass? Our game's not really about that all the time. You know, it's getting after people, yeah. making people get on their back foot.
Listen, the game's changed. We know all that kind of thing. But Scotland and Georgia, they've got Georgia haven't been the best of times in the group. Scotland had one effort at goal. At the end of this is a place in the Euro Championships. You know, and I know the game's changed and it's all about keeping possession and keeping the opposition at bay, but surely we expect more than that. You know, Georgia are struggling. Sure, we get the ball in the box. We've got the boy Fletcher, who's decent in the air. Let's give him some service. But again, talking in the office before we came on here, where are the strikers? Where are the people, the Ian Rushes, the John Aldridges of this world, who scored goals right, left and centre? International football, there ain't many about now. Is it because it's the way we're playing and they don't get the chances that they did in the past when they got the ball wide and got balls in the box? We talked about Benteke a couple of shows ago, talking about the same thing. We don't service the strikers with the balls in the box and playing to them. They are now a man up front to do a job, is to get a hold of it and link play.
You know what? Do the British supporters really want to see touch, go back to the goalkeeper, go back to the centre half, go back to the goalkeeper? Do they want to see that, or do they want to see people having a go? Look, you go back to the Republic of Ireland years ago. Jack Charlton put the cat amongst the pigeons and went, no, we're going route one. They had a team full of Premier League players, top flight players. Ball went up there, they squeezed the play, they set the world alight. Yeah. They were so close to getting to semi-finals of a World Cup as well. They got knocked out in the quarters, didn't they, by Italy? And all of a sudden, no one could handle it. I don't understand why, and I'm not being disrespectful when I say this, you know, Scotland, why wouldn't they go and do that? If they think they're going to struggle, get it up top, have a right go. You know?
Well, the sort of players they've got, I said to Sharpie, it looks like a championship team. David Marshall, Andrew Robertson, Russell Martin, Grant Hanley, Alan Hutton, Sean Maloney, Scott Brown, Anya, Stephen Fletcher, James Morrison, Stephen Naismith. With the greatest of respect.
Listen, Northern Ireland, you know, Scotland unfortunately have been drawn in a group which is very difficult. Germany and Poland, you know, fair enough. But, you know, there are some players that play in the Premier League there, but it's not like Scotland teams of the past kind of thing where everybody was playing in the top league kind of thing. You'd soonest Dalglish, Hansen, whatever kind of thing. But they should still, for me, play to their strengths.
Correct.
To play to their strengths. You know, Stephen Fletcher's strength to me is get a hold of it, get it wide, get in the box, score goals, good in the air, on the back post. We don't do that anymore. We're trying to be neat and tidy and pass it and keep possession and keep possession. Keep possession for what? So as not to give it to the opposition. But there's got to be a point where you say, listen, we've got to take risks here. Yeah, we want to maybe get it in there and take a risk. But we weren't, and all of a sudden, what happens then is you go a goal down and you go, oh, well, let's get the ball forward quick. Let's get the ball, we're chasing the game. Now, why don't do it from the start? You know, I just think, I look at the game and listen, I know it's difficult now and it has changed, but for me, watching it, I think it's boring.
Do you know what? Can I just say something? Do they honestly believe, and I don't mean to be just disrespectful when I say this, do they actually think that if they play football against the likes of Spain and against Germany, that they're going to beat them in a football match, a football match? I don't think, but that's not the case, is it? And I know we may laugh and think, but it ain't. They're not going to beat them. So move the goalpost. Let's change it up. Let's unsettle them. Do something that they're not used to playing against. And that's what Scotland, you know, should be about, I believe. And then,
okay, we got a first caller to the show. Not sure what he wants to talk about. It's Stuart, who's on the line. Evening to you, Stuart.
Hi, mate. You're right.
You good? What do you want to talk about? International football? You blue or red?
Yeah, I'm blue.
Oh, go on then. What do you want to talk with Sharpie about?
Hello, Graham. You all right, mate?
Hi, Stuart.
I just wanted to discuss Everton as we stand at the moment. There's a lot of disillusioned and frustrated fans at the minute, and it's not just regarding the transfer window. It's been the last 20 years since Bill Kenwright's been in charge, and it's about where do we move forward from here to progress our club.
It's So how do Everton move forward? Sorry, Graham was just slightly struggling with his headphones. Stuart was basically saying, how do Everton move forward? There's some disillusionment amongst the fans at the moment, you know, around the chairman and maybe the structure of the club. I mean, what's the thoughts on that?
Well, listen, everybody wants to win trophies. Everton are no different to anybody else. Everybody wants to win trophies. But you look at the people who have won trophies in the past, it's not easy. You know, and what you've got now is you've got... Listen, Evertonians talk about the 70s when they won the league, and then obviously in our time as well when they were successful and haven't had much success since 95. But it's becoming more and more difficult, you know, to win the league because you've got the riches of City and Chelsea and whoever. Listen, we've got in the Champions League. Listen, if you ask me now, in the next 5 years, the way we're going just now, do you think Everton will win the league? I'd say no, definitely without a shadow of a doubt, unless we get massive investment. Now, I think that's something that the chairman has always said, that, you know, investment, if it can come in. But also people have got to believe there's not many people throwing money around. You know, there's not many people throwing hundreds of millions of pounds about. So, you know, there's these conspiracy theories that, you know, he's doing this, the chairman, and he's not willing to sell it. The chairman has said on numerous occasions, if he gets it right, investment and the people are going to take the club forward, he will gladly step aside. But until these people come, you know, we hear about certain people coming in and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and it doesn't materialise. But let me tell you, if the right offer comes in, and by that I'm not, people are talking about the chairman's making money and all this kind of thing, and he wants this and he wants that, he's asking too much of a price. He wants investment into the football club. He's not daft. He's not going to give it away to any Tom, Dick and Harry. I think he's done a decent job. I understand the frustrations of the fans. We all want to win things, but it's not as easy bringing investment in as what people think.
I understand what you're saying there, Graham, but if I can just say, like, the King's Dock, which I feel was a big miss for Everton Football Club, we were told that £30 million was ring-fenced for that, so that we could actually...
Stuart, I agree with you. I agree with you, the fact that the King's Dock was a big... disappointment to everybody. I thought that would be a fantastic stadium if we managed to get it. For whatever reasons, we didn't get it. I think the chairman would tell you himself, Bill Kennett would tell himself, it was a massive disappointment. Again, I'm not sure about the ins and outs of things. But I agree with you. I think for us to move forward, I think we've got to get a new stadium or get Goodison rebuilt or whatever. I'm not too sure what the situation is there. But I think a new stadium and moving forward, that's what we need to look for. Now, where that comes, I'm not too sure the Walton Hall Park situation is, but I think ideally for us to move forward, but to get a new stadium, it costs money. You know, people talk about Manchester City and the Sheikh Mansour was supposed to be coming to Everton and looking at Everton. The difference between the two clubs is simple. They had a stadium there, the Commonwealth Stadium, which was already there for them. So anybody buying into Everton now would have to have a massive investment to build a new stadium. And there's not that many people around. But I agree with you, the King's Dock was a miss. That would be an ideal for us.
I think as well, Graham, the fact that the fans aren't happy isn't getting really mentioned in the media as much as when Hicks and Gillette were at Liverpool and they were doing protests. I mean, I know there was a protest at Southampton, and no doubt there'll be protests in the future because the fans see the likes of Southampton, West Brom, West Ham spending a lot more money than us. And fans just want, like, obviously wanting to know where's the money that's coming into the club, where's it going?
Wait, is there a quick fix to it all, Stuart, though?
No, I'm not saying it's a quick fix, but, I mean, Kenwright has had, like, 20 years at the club and we've won nothing in that time. And
Stuart, who would you bring in then? You must have names.
Who would I bring in?
Yeah, who's going to come in and give us that money?
I don't want I don't want a billionaire. I want somebody with an actual plan, and that can take that'll take the club forward. Because right now we're just stagnant.
Stuart, I'll just say as well, the fella that came in at Leeds had a plan, Ridsdale and all that. The fellas, so there's so many, and this is a thing. I know people get into arguments and everything else and saying it's this and that, and it's pro Kenwright and anti Kenwright. But you got to be very careful. You know, for all the ones that you mentioned about, they're doing a good job. There's hundreds, or not hundreds, handfuls of clubs who have gone that way. Look at Blackburn, for example. I know we can't compare Blackburn to Everton, but you've got to be very careful. You know, so I'd rather, if anything's going to come in, investment's going to come in, it's got to be the right people. You can't just give it away to somebody who...
No, I agree with that totally, Graham, but what I'm saying is there needs to be somebody that's coming in with a plan, because at the minute I just feel like we're just standing still and everyone else is bypassing us.
Yeah, good point, as you say. But the thing is, Stuart, is that somebody needs to come to the fore, and that's the thing. We haven't got anybody that's coming to the fore, and, you know, whatever you
why
say...
Why is that, Graham?
You tell me. You know, as I said to you before, football club... What you've got to remember is football club's a big investment. You know, there's not many people... Like, if I've got £300 million, I'm not too sure whether I'm going to want to put it into a football club, because you ain't going to get anything back from it. So it's like, you know, so it's a very... It's a very select group of people who are going to invest in a football club. So what I'm saying is, would you have £300 million? Would you invest, knowing you're not going to get any money back?
Stuart, I think you nailed it a bit before when you said maybe Everton missed their time. We talked about King's Dock or a chance to build a stadium when it was affordable. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's an incredibly more expensive option and thing to do. And I think you're absolutely right in terms of media profile. And if you want to get your message out here, you can always do it on this show, whatever. You know, it's a great debate to have. And obviously, yeah. Sharpie's given some good points then, but I think you have as well, Stuart.
He has as well. Listen, we're all in a situation, Steve, right? We're all in a situation where we're not happy. Ideally, we want to be challenging Man City and Chelsea's at the top end. Of course we do. Everybody wants that. But unfortunately, as I said before, in the age we're living in now, it's becoming more and more difficult unless we get somebody who's going to come in and invest all that money and say, right, this is where we're going to go. But unfortunately, there ain't that many people around.
I don't know whether you saw today, you might have seen it, Stuart, I saw someone post on social media, there's a plane set to go over Everton at the weekend with a banner about Ken Wright. We saw this at Liverpool last season, didn't we, Wrighty, as well? There was a Rafa in, Brendan Rodgers out.
Well, I was at Southampton when I seen the plane go over there as well.
Right.
And I have actually been to a meeting where, obviously, people aren't happy with the way things are at the minute. And I would imagine that there will be more protests in the future, because, obviously, fans do have the right to voice their opinion, even if people at Everton don't like that.
Great call, Stuart. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to shift on because we've got a red as well. I'm sure Sharpie will react again. Hopefully speak to you again soon. Cheers, pal. Look, fascinating stuff. Absolutely fascinating. The whole plane thing with a banner thing slightly bemuses me. I'm not sure how it works.
I don't agree with that. Voice an opinion, but that's the poor show.
But again, the top bit split. This is a small group, you know, who are protesting this moment in time. Listen, you've got to look at the bigger picture, and I can understand their frustrations.
But they've got a right to, haven't they?
It's
their club as well, isn't it?
If they want to do it, of course they do. If you think that's going to make any difference, by all means, on you go. But what I'm saying is, they've got to... It's very, very easy to come in and say, we should be doing this, we should be doing that, we should be doing that. The chairman has said, on numerous occasions, if anybody wants to come in and take the club on, I'll step aside. But that person that comes in has got to be the right person. You can't give it in the hands of somebody who, 5 years down the road, the club's going to be first division, second division. So you've got to be very careful.
Well, what do you think about that, right? Because we see lots of new owners at football clubs, don't we? And the dream which fans have when new owners come in with these multi-million pound bank accounts that they've got.
Well, it's like Sharpie said, if there's someone out there that comes in with a heck of a lot of money to push the club forward in the right direction, whether it's a new stadium, and then it's certainly a lot of new players coming in, then it certainly helps. I'm still a bit bemused by if they want to progress and do things, and this is only me speaking, if there was supposedly 40 million on the table, which could have gone and gone and got maybe three or four players, or maybe more, you know, if they had done their business right, would that not have made Everton that much more stronger to maybe to try and go compete for a competition this year?
Yeah, well, I know what you're saying, right, and what you're right and what you say, but what you then get is the other half saying, oh, we're just a selling club, what are we selling our best players for? You know, so you can't win, because some people are saying, oh, it's Ken Wright and all this, imagine if we'd have sold Stones for 40 million, Ken Wright would have been absolutely battered. We're a selling club, he's got £40 million, and where's that going, blah, blah, blah. They stood their ground and said, no, we're going to back the manager, blah, blah, blah. But he still gets... The ground thing is a big thing for me. You know, and the ground... And that's never going to go away unless we get major investment. And, you know, Goodison is getting tarted up, you know, every year kind of thing. But everybody knows that it needs either a new stadium or a complete redevelopment, which will be difficult.
Gents, fantastic debate. It's 6:49. You're listening to the Radio City Sport legends Mark Wright and Graham Sharp. I was going to say Graham Stewart.
Oh, you said legends first. You wouldn't have said
Graham
Stewart.
Sorry about that. In the studio tonight, 4720967. 4720967, if you'd like to get involved, social media at Radio City News. And we're going to have a former legend, I'll aim him as that, on the show up next. Stick with us.
Fowler's on the corner of the penalty. He's got Spicer three inside the six-yard box, and he didn't find it. Forced the bubble! Who drives it home?
Profited from this in the FA Cup final from McAllister's delivery in the 82nd minute. Can they do so again? Here he is to take, right-hand side. Five Liverpool players in the box. And it goes. Sammy Hibbs there. And Marcus Babbel has put Liverpool in front.
Radio City Sport. Red and blue banter and debate. The legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
OK, 5-7. It's the legends for a Monday night. Sharpie and Mark Wright in the studio. Just had some clips then. Marcus Babbel, goals from the classic Gary McAllister derby 2000. And, of course, a goal from the UEFA Cup final against Alaves. And Marcus Babbel will turn 43 tomorrow. Ooh. Many good memories of Marcus Babbel or not, Wrighty?
Not really.
Doesn't really hold a place in your heart. Okay, well, happy birthday, Marcus.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jim. A lot of respect for every ex-professional, to be perfectly honest. But I wish I was 43 again, yeah, Sabi.
He's slightly younger than me. Let's just return very shortly for the international conversation before we get our guest on the phone. I asked you before, tell me who your greatest England side is that you've played with, Wrighty. Because I'll read you out the England side. Hart, Klein, Shaw, Shelvey, Stones, Jagielka, Milner, Barkley, Vardy, Rooney and Oxlade-Chamberlain. That was the England side that played San Marino. Just name me your England side that sticks out in your head that you played in.
That I would have played in. Of any era, are we mixing them? Are we mixing that team up or are we just sticking with
Just give me a great England side that you were in.
Well, it was Shilton, obviously. I won't pick myself because that's not right. But it would be Tony Adams, Des Walker, Terry Butcher, three centre-halves, who were massive in their own right. Yeah. Each and every one of them. You got two leaders in Terry Butcher and Tony Adams, and I have Pierce one side, Gary Stevens on the other, because he was an absolute machine. He was the fittest man I think I've ever seen. Then in midfield, I'd have Brian Robson, Gazza. Then it would probably be Barnsley, because Barnes is one of the best players, if not the best player, probably played with. And then up front, it'd be Shearer and Lineker. Now that's a good side.
That's a good drinking team until you got to.
All of it. It's a great drinking team, isn't it?
Hearing me.
Okay, well, someone else to join your great drinking team. Would he be in a Welsh side, Sharpie?
Well, not a drinking team, definitely not.
He's a former Legends worker, friend of yours.
Would I say yeah, I think he's had a colourful career, should we say. but a good player in his time. He was an Everton teammate of mine, only for a few months, because he refused to play in the reserve game. And he got booted out the next day by Howard Kendall.
That's outrageous behaviour.
Outrageous behaviour. We're talking about Berahino now. This man, Berahino has got nothing on this man. Nothing at all. You that right, Mickey?
Yeah, Sharpie, you're right, mate. Yeah, nothing's changed. I'm still the same.
Is that, were you a bad boy, Mickey? Mickey Thomas, for anyone who's just joining us on the Legends show. And of course, we've actually reincarnated your former show here, Mickey.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Sharpie was probably the clever one on the show. The three of us were thick. Sharpie had all the brains.
I'm not sure about that, Mickey. You've got Liverpool coming up soon.
Yeah.
Have you got any kind words to say for Liverpool? You always have.
Well, I mean, I think West Ham result was a bad result for them, you know, especially where they got beaten. I think they're not playing well at this moment in time. And, I mean, they spent a lot of money. And with that type of money they spent, you expect them to be at the top fighting for that number one spot. But at this moment in time, it's not good reading for Liverpool fans. I think they lost faith in the manager, and I think that's obviously filtered down to the team performances.
Going for the weekend, what, 4 or 5, Mickey?
Well, Sharpie, you know, every time United come around, United aren't in great form at this moment in time. You know, they lost against Swansea last weekend, and that wasn't a great result for them. But they have to bounce back, and at home at Old Trafford, one or two new additions, I think hopefully we can win the game. But, you know, Liverpool, I think you understand what I'm going to say here, Mark, is that every time these two teams get together, you know, you're not sure what you're going to get. You know, Liverpool would be up for sure.
Mickey, how much money have you lot spent then?
Well, we spent a lot of money, but, you know, we're just above you in the league at the moment. And, you know, it's a long time.
Mickey, only just. Listen, we'll have a difference of an opinion. Because I tell you what, Mickey, it would be that I don't think, and I've watched them, I don't think Man United are playing that well. And I think this is a big open game for the first time. And either side could win, and that's how big this game could be. Because, obviously, then Liverpool would jump or Man United would go further away.
Righty, it's a big game for both teams. No question about that. And whoever wins it, obviously they'll have the advantage. But, you know, whoever loses it, I think, you know, it could be a bit of a problem. For me, Liverpool away from home, they have to come and get something. You know, you're not playing with the best player in your team, Coutinho. He won't be even on that pitch. So it's already an uphill task for Liverpool.
But you know what? I'll tell you what, Mickey. The one thing that I would say is that Benteke would be hard to manage by your centre-halves at this moment in time. If they service him right, then he would be a massive problem to them.
Well, I'll tell you what, he got embarrassed in midweek for playing for Belgium, got taken off at half-time. His performance was shocking. So
he was saving himself. He was saving himself. Mickey, saving himself.
Saturday, I'll be delighted. Yeah. I mean, Benteke is a very good player. There's no question about that. But I just think maybe the way Liverpool played, don't play to his style. Sharp is an out-and-out striker, score goals for fun. I think you have to have service from wide positions. Liverpool really don't provide that for Benteke type of player.
Listen, I'm really disappointed in you because every time I used to do the show with you, you used to always say four or five of United. So United must have dipped a little bit in your estimation.
No,
but listen, going back to Wales, nearly there, mate. Nearly there. Can you do it?
No, but they're there, Sharpie. You know, you got the ace card in Andorra at home the last game of the season. You know, I mean, even me and you could score against them at our age now, I tell you. You know, I just think, you know, Wales are going to make it. There's no question about it. They're already there for me. You know, the group was made in heaven. And obviously, we're going to go to France and we're going to win it, Sharpie. When we get there, Mark, we're going to go there and win it. We're capable of doing that.
Listen, by the way, when we played you in the qualifiers, anything can happen, mate.
Well, I know you cheated in Sharpie. I'll never forgive you for that handball by Joe Jordan. Obviously, he never said he did it, but he did.
Well, I told you that wasn't handball.
It was handball, Sharpie. Lou McCoy told me last week, he said, for all these years, I've got to tell you it was Joe Jordan's hand. Yeah, but I think Wales, for me, it's for the nation. It obviously, we've never got there before. Bale and Ramsey deserve that, the world-class players. And hopefully they can do the country proud and hopefully they can go quite far in that competition.
Right, go on. I'm going to nail you here. Go on, give us a score prediction for not only Wales, because Wales are going to go through. I agree with you there. But for the big one at the weekend, Man United and Liverpool, give us a score prediction.
I think it'll be one or two goals for United in the first half and maybe four or five in the second.
Oh, I tell you.
Liverpool. No, Mark, I respect Liverpool. You have to because they can perform. But, you know, as I said, both teams aren't playing that particularly well. United are very good at keeping the ball, but not hurting enough from the outside position. So Liverpool play a tight game, it'd be only one goal in it for me.
Oh, well, we'll just wait and see. Righty, what are you thinking? You're obviously going for Liverpool.
Do you know what? I just fancy Liverpool to go there and get a result. I really do.
Righty, okay, they will get a result. Unfortunately, it won't be a good one.
Oh, don't be like that, son.
No, I think it's going to be a tight game, Sharpie, and I think Mark knows as well.
Yeah, it will be.
Come out to the thing was, though, I think, and I looked at the last season when Liverpool got embarrassed at Anfield, you know, how much does that hurt them? How much will be psychology on their brain thinking about that coming to Old Trafford?
Yeah, fair enough, Mickey. Well, I'll tell you what, very quickly, are you booking your tickets to France?
I've already got my Sharpie. I've pinched him. I've got a new machine now.
Mickey, brilliant as always, mate. Speak to you soon.
Top man. Cheers, mate. Take care, guys. Bye.
Oh, brilliant. A different class. Different class.
Mickey Thomas. Oh, there we go. Mickey Thomas, thank you for joining us. He's gone now. I missed the end of that conversation.
I asked him, is he going to France? And he says, yes, he's already printed his tickets already.
He said he's got a new machine.
It's just great quality,
he's
isn't
a character. He's a character. I'll tell you what, and the story when he was at Everton was that he'd been in the first team and he got injured. Yeah. So we were playing Newcastle in the reserve game. So Howard Kendall said to him, right, Mickey, you need to get back fit. So you're going to Newcastle. So sitting at the outside Belfield at the time, about 1:30, you know, everybody had to be at 1:30. And he told me the day before, he said, I'm not playing the reserves. I don't care who it is. I'm not playing for this. So you've got to go. Sitting in the bus at 1:30, Colin Harvey was the coach. 1:30, 20-2. I said, listen, Colin, he's not coming. He said, what do you mean he's not coming? I said, he's not coming. He didn't turn up. The next day, Howard Kendall dragged him in and sold him. I think they sold him to Stoke. Howard just like, bang, out, gone. And he was a decent player, but I think he only played about 4 or 5 games for Everton. And
could,
then
could
bang,
have been massive
out.
For them.
Yeah, bang, out. You know, but he was a character. You know, everybody remembers him. Obviously for Wrexham, when he scores a goal, it beats Arsenal in the cup as well. But yeah, good player. Good player, Mickey.
And wow. Everyone remembers him for other things. As
yeah. Daft as a brush.
Absolutely crackers.
Daft as a brush.
Who have we got? Another caller on the line. It's Radio City Legends. It's Alec. Welcome to the show, Alec.
Oh, hi.
How are you? Red or blue?
Blue.
Blue. Internationals? Are you bothered about internationals as well? No?
Not really.
Just Everton. All right.
Yeah, I mean... Sorry, it's just a quick word about Bill Kenwright, really. You know, I think some people forget what the guy's done, you know. For me, City and Chelsea are leagues apart from everyone else financially. So you can imagine City's meetings. Man City, to them owners, is probably about number 10 on the list, you know. Mm. Now, Bill Kenwright, not long ago, was filmed at 11:30 at night coming out of a meeting from David Moyes, and you could tell the guy didn't want to be interviewed. He was upset. Now, I understand the fans' frustrations financially, but what I would say is take a look at Blackburn Rovers. You know, what you want is somebody who actually has got the finance and knows what they're doing, not just a toy. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I agree that Evertonians are probably thinking, what have we got to look forward to? We've got a lot to look forward to. You know, I mean, the way I look at it is, we have a good run. We can push the top four, maybe a cup run. You know, but people have got to, you know, remember that we go the match on a Saturday, and it's a machine that you'll never understand, the huge mass machine that football now is, you know. Hmm. I mean, say Everton have got 20 million to spend. I should imagine, you know, 5 years wages are involved in that for a player. Do you see what I mean? Hmm. And I just think, Goodison sometimes can be quite negative, you know, and it's a shame, you know.
Very, very much so. I think the negativity at Goodison, you know, is you know, especially first game of the season, you know, we're getting beat and getting booed off at half time. Listen, we all want to see exciting football, and Mark and I touched on it at the beginning of the show about, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit boring. We understand that, but you know, your supporters stick with the team, you know, and I think it's been difficult for them last year. I agree with them that, you know, it wasn't great. But it's important that they stick with them at the beginning of the season. I think protests don't do anything. No. Don't care what you say. The players do become affected, you know, when there's people talking about it all the time. And at this moment in time, I can understand the frustrations, but I tend to go the way as you did. I talked about Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds United, Blackburn you mentioned. You know, for all the good ones, there's loads and loads of bad ones. And I don't think Bill... is a situation. Yes, he wants to get rid of it, but he's not just going to give it to anybody who walks in the door and says, I'm this and I'm that. So, you know, I agree with you. Let's stick together. That's the most important thing. And people are entitled to the views and their opinions. Of course they are.
I understand that, Graham, but I think people need to remember as well that it doesn't entitle them to do exactly what they want, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember when Bill first came. Now, how true it was, I don't know, but it was in the Echo, so I tend to believe it. Steve Lomas, do you remember that player?
Yes.
Now, we had no money when he was being sold. I think it was from West Ham, or he was going to West Ham, $4.5 million. All of a sudden, we put a bid in. Now, how true it is, I don't know, but apparently Bill Kenwright had got the money from somewhere, and his partner was going mad. We never got the player.
No.
But surely that shows what the guy thinks of the club, you know, and I know what I'd rather have.
Yeah.
You know, we're ticking over. People have got to understand, everyone, I believe, outside that top four, you're ticking over.
Mm.
And football's about dreams. The day will come. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, I understand people just run out of patience, but look at other teams. Look what everyone else is doing. I believe City and Chelsea are in a financial league of their own. Even Man United and Arsenal are going to struggle to keep up with them. And Liverpool got bitten, didn't they, by a couple of owners a few years ago, you know.
Yeah.
So I think Evertonians just need to be careful what they are wishing for, you know.
Super stuff. Alec, we're going to have to cut that short, but great points, really well made. Hopefully, yeah, no problems. Hopefully, we'll get you on again soon. So, real pro Ken, right? We've had both sides of the board there, but points well made right across the board by everyone.
Well, that's football. Football yeah. opinions. You know, yeah, I agree. You don't disagree. It's, and everybody has their opinion, whether it be on players, whether it be on boards, whether it be on owners, whatever. That's football.
Mm. Okay. Right, he gave us his great England 11. Your great Scotland 11 off the top of your head, Sharpie.
Give me an hour for that.
Oh, no, God, it can't be that hard.
No, it's not.
Jim Leighton.
Is that where
Alan
it ends?
Ruff. Alan Ruff. I couldn't tell you.
Scotland have got Germany, haven't they?
Yeah.
Tonight. And Scotland had a problem travelling back from their last game. But they're playing against the likes of Tony Cruz. Yeah. Goetze has scored the World Cup final goal. Muller as well. Mm. They've got Emre Can playing at right back for them.
We've got a chance then. No, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but I'm saying if he's playing right back, we've got the boy Anya, who's a flying machine, you know, from Watford. And if he plays on the left-hand side, he could cause him problems with his pace. Listen, on paper, everybody thinks Germany will win this, but this might just be the occasions of full Hamden. They might just make something happen. When you look at the teams, not a chance, not a cat in hell's chance, yeah. But you never know. It's happened before. I think they beat... remember right, they beat France or Italy 1-0 or something a few years ago when nobody expected them to win. So it is possible. Is it likely? Probably not, but it's possible.
They play well against the big team Scotland, but they don't get results against them. That maybe has been their problem. We're going to take a short break here. Still plenty more to come on the Radio City Legends with Mark Rice and Graham Sharp. We're here till 7:30.
Call the Legends now. 0151 4720 967. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City Sport.
Delaney gets it back to Coleman. It's on his left foot. He wants it on his right, really. But Coleman runs into the penalty area and then out and brings in Barkley. Thought about a shot. Gets it on his left foot.
Get in!
Ross Barkley with his first ever goal for Everton. And that is one that he will really remember for a long, long time. Not just in its execution, but for the very fact that it's his first Everton goal. He's finished it superbly. Battered home, left footed from outside the penalty area. John Ruddy comprehensively beaten. Norwich 1, Everton 1.
Big Alan Irwin with that commentary of the Ross Barkley goal. And of course, scored for England.
Yeah.
As well.
First goal for England, yeah. Good to see. You know, it's difficult for Ross. You know, and I definitely were talking about it again before. Mm. You know, playing against San Marino, everybody expects you to win. Everybody expects it to be a walk in the park. You look at the pitch was a disgrace. You know, so it's not a leveller, but it's difficult at times to get up. And people say, oh, you've got to go up when you're playing for England or Scotland, whoever it's your international country. But sometimes these games are difficult. They drag you down. So England were always on a hiding to nothing. Yeah. What makes me laugh is when I read the papers the next morning and they give the marks out. Who gives these marks out? Honestly, and don't take any notice of that whatsoever. Honestly,
did you two used to get that? I can't remember the papers back then.
Do you know what? I was taught by an old boy at Southampton, and he told me from day one when I arrived there, he said, "Believe nothing of what you read and half of what you see." never really read the papers. Never looked at marks. It meant nothing to us. And it was just, don't forget, it's one press man's opinion.
Yeah.
But everyone believes that, and it's wrong.
Have a look at social media. Have you seen our nice new picture here? We've got, if you go on our Twitter, at CityTalk1059 or at Radio City News, there you go. It's Sharpie and Aldo, a little promotional picture.
I was in full voice then.
Well, what do they look like they're doing, these Sharpie and Aldo?
They're singing.
It's proper Frank Sinatra stuff isn't it? Yeah. You might want to go on our social media and check that out. Just for future reference, it's our phone number and Twitter handle in case you want to get involved in the show. Massive week, because there's massive games at the end of it. Do you do anything different, righty, if you're a Liverpool player this week with Manchester United away on the horizon for you?
Do you know, people say you don't change what you do, but when it's Liverpool going to Old Trafford, you do feel that little bit different. I know it's wrong to say it, but you do, and you think, yeah, all the players at Liverpool should be so up for this game. They've just taken a hiding. They've been away for an international break. Get up for it. And I mean, really, each and every one, whoever's picked, go out there as men. Want the ball. Be brave on the ball. But get after Man United. And I really think, I know they say they take the tackling away, but you can still get after them, Sharpie. Mm. You can still pen them in. Don't let them play from the back. Press. You know, if Skirtle and Lovren or whoever plays can't handle the pace of Wayne Rooney, then there's something wrong because he's not the quickest man to get away. So just squeeze them all in. Push them all backwards and have a real go. That's what Sharpie and I were talking about before. Mm. It's about the passion. Go after them. And if you get beat and you're showing a heck of a lot of passion, the fans can forgive you for that, and they'll say, at least you had a real go. And that's all we want to see is change it round from maybe lying down and dying and pass, to going out there with a big heart and saying, listen, here I am. If you're better than me today, then we can accept that. But that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see the change in their mental attitude.
Mm. Paul Scholes was very critical of Manchester United, and he says, to win games, you've got to take chances.
Yep.
You've got to take chances. Fans expect you to go forward and take chances and be brave, as Mark says. United haven't been doing that this year. Under Van Gaal, it's been very stereotypical. They'll just pass, keep possession, go back, blah, blah. United fans don't want to see that. You've got to take chances to win games. So I think, as Mark said, Liverpool go there and take the game to United, they've got a chance of winning it. The big thing about coming back from managers Brendan Rodgers and Roberto Martinez will be sitting there praying over the next couple of days that the players all come back, free from injury. You know, obviously Everton start 12:45 on Saturday, which is a really early kickoff. Mm. So he'll be expecting everybody to be come back. So it's difficult when you haven't worked with your players for so long to get them back in a couple of days. But when you've got two big games, it would be worse if you were playing, no disrespect, Norwich or somebody else. But the fact that they're two big games, I think the players will have no doubt they'll be up for them. No problem. What I've got to say very quickly, did you see Mo Besic getting sent off?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see it right? No. Oh, unbelievable. I've never seen this before in my life. He was on a yellow card. He runs through in the middle. He gets tackled. He falls over. It's a foul. As he's fallen, he takes a chewing gum out of his mouth and throws it at the fella who's tackled him. Oh. And the referee sees it and gives him a yellow card and sends him off.
Oh, ridiculous. What is the game coming to?
Yeah.
What is it coming to?
Get Mark Colsey back in. What would he have done?
I never fancy Liverpool at Old Trafford. I always fancy Everton at home against big teams.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I just think Everton have got the mindset at home.
But Mark said as well, the fans are important. If the fans are there, and Chelsea, Mourinho will get some stick from the supporters over the Stones situation. Yep. So that might just be an extra weapon for us. The fact that the fans will be up for this, right on the back of Mourinho, right on the back of Chelsea, and hopefully we can get a positive result.
Yeah, I think it'll be a massive turnaround from what the caller Stuart said before in terms of negativity from fans. I think it's one of those games when the Everton fans will be the 12th man. And having gone to the West Ham game and Liverpool play, I actually thought they acted as the 12th man for West Ham, the Liverpool fans. Mm. There was so much negativity streaming down in that game.
True.
You know what? Sharpie said it before as well. It's like the Mutual Admiration Society here. It's important that the fans stick with the side and give them all the encouragement that they need, because it takes a little bit of, sometimes it's a little bit of luck to get yourself a goal up, and then that inspires you and that lifts your game and you go on to win it. So it's very important that the fans, and the fans have always stuck behind the team, but you know when they're getting beat 3-0 at home, as men, we deserve to have stick. If you're a footballer and you're getting beat 3-0 at home, you deserve to be criticised. And you've got to live with that and say to the fans, next time, we're going to be better. Mm. We will not let you down and we'll show you what we're all about. That's how they need to respond this time.
Okay, let's do some quick-fire answers to these questions sent on Twitter. We'll rattle through them. Gary in Heighton, Emre Can starting as a right-back for Germany. Is this where Liverpool should play him?
No.
They should play him where?
Midfield. I don't think he's a defender. I certainly don't think he's a fullback.
But you don't know what sort of midfielder he is either.
No, but I think he's an attacking midfielder. I think he's got something in his locker, but it's whether they let him go forward, because they're playing like that 4-4-2-3-1, so it's very hard to put him in.
And he's maybe not quick enough, is he, to get back? Danny from Crosby, do you think Ross Barkley should be in the starting 11 for England?
Difficult one, but I'd probably say yes. I think you've got to play him and stick with him and give him confidence. I don't think chopping and changing him and leaving him out will do him any good.
Matt from Walton, do you think internationals affect the team? Is it a good run out for any players?
It's a good run out for the English players if they're playing like and they're resting a lot of players and they're not playing their full strength side against San Marino. So it's a good chance to see who can step up, who's going to give them a little bit of confidence, let them put an England shirt on and see what it's like.
Adam in West Kirby wants to know what's Everton's lineup going to be against Chelsea. What would you guess at, Sharpie? Should they be defensive?
No, I think it'll be the same. I think they won't change it. I think it'll be 4-2-3-1. Barry McCarthy holding. The three and the one up front will be Lukaku. So it's the three in midfield. what he goes with. Does he go with pace in the wings with Delafield and Morales? I'd be surprised if Delafield starts, but I think it'll be the same system, 4-2-3-1.
Okay, let's just analyse the charity bets. There was £450 or £80 in the Liverpool kitty before the weekend. Mark Halsey came on and created a referee's kitty, thanks to Dale from Skybet. And he actually went for Germany to beat Poland. They won 3-1. That was a bank order. Yes. Spain to beat Slovakia.
Easy.
They won 2-0. And then he went for Newport to beat York. That's a bad one. Righty, do you remember yours?
I do. I won one, drew one and lost one. I did.
Scunthorpe to beat Blackpool, and Blackpool,
Where did that come from? Then Portsmouth drew with Accrington, didn't they?
That's right, 0-0.
Which was, you know, didn't really matter after the first one goes down, does it?
But the one you got right was Wickham to beat Hartlepool. And Sharpie, you also went for the Blackpool. This will teach you
that
both.
That killed
you,
me, yeah.
You can't cheat the system.
Killed me.
Scunthorpe to beat Blackpool. Blackpool, of course, won. Barnsley to beat Shrewsbury. Why on earth are you going for these? And Portsmouth to beat Accrington as well. It's back to the drawing board for both of you ahead of these charity bets. I honestly thought after Righty's day one win that the kitty would be massive by now.
I'm that bad. I'm going to ask Snods. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Listen, now, if we'd have gone for the international games, you know, there's bankers in there. We went for League One and League Two, which that's hard.
Yeah,
that's hard to predict them.
Now you're playing as if it would be obvious.
It's hard. That was hard.
Okay. Just a minute left on the show. Big week. We mentioned it. We'll be back on Friday. And we've got a guest match of the day commentator. Steve Wilson is going to join us in the studio. Tranmere fan. Big Tranmere fan.
He?
And he's commentating on the game for match of the day at the weekend.
Well, I'm rushing home tonight to watch Scotland beat Germany.
The big game.
Come on, Scotland.
You're going to sit through that, Righty?
No.
what were you doing?
Says a good Englishman.
I'm going back to join Reedy in that for a while. No, I'm not.
You're not even going to persevere with the idea of Scotland. I might turn that on. Wales is the story.
You
it was nice to have Mickey Thomas
on. You should be ashamed.
Have you seen the lineup? It's a pretty tough one to look at. Look, we'll be back on Friday. We'll get the charity bets up and running again. Are you back, Rizaldo, in?
Aldo's in.
Right, Aldo's making a return. Righty will be back with us in the coming weeks. I'm absolutely positive about that one. It's a huge week for both our football clubs. Tranmere as well. They've got a derby with Chester. Wowee.
A decent big crowd,
Oh, we could have touched on that. We've only got 10 seconds. Sorry, Righty. Sorry about that. Good luck to Tranmere and Chester, if you're Righty. Thanks for joining us on the Radio City Legends. We'll be back 6:30, of course, on Friday night.
Call the Legends now. 1-4-7-2-0-9-6-7. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City Sport.